Brethren, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who joins himself to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality. Every other sin which a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong unto God.
Peace be with you, the reader. Wisdom, arise, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be with all.
The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Let us be attentive.
The Lord said this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Lo, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother is dead and is alive. He was lost and is found."
Peace be to you who proclaim the gospel.
Good morning. Last November, a great and amazing reunion occurred. A reunion so emotional, so amazing, it was almost miraculous. This reunion of two people, of two best friends who had been separated for over 83 years due to the Holocaust. Back in 1938, Betty Grieben-Schikoff and Anna Marie Varenberg were 2 9-year-old Jewish girls and best friends living in Berlin. Two little girls who witnessed the shock and horror of the Kristallnacht, the night of broken glass, where Jews were persecuted across Germany. Even now, both women vividly recall standing across from one another in a Berlin schoolyard and through tears sharing one final hug before they each had to flee the country, the Nazis, and the horror of the Holocaust that was at their doorstep. The weight of that moment has stayed with them all of their lives. Anne Marie later said, "We did not want to separate. We loved each other very much." Betty later remembered, "We promised we would keep in touch and meet again, but they did lose touch." Anna Marie fled to Chile, and Betty fled to China. The evil of the Nazis and their self-imposed exiles brought the two friends to opposite sides of the earth. But in their separation through the decades, they never forgot each other. In today's gospel lesson, the parable of the prodigal son, we learned about a different separation and a different type of self-exile. In the parable of the prodigal son, the younger son outrageously asks for his part of his inheritance while his father is still living and moves to a faraway country among non-believers and lives a reckless life. Unlike these girls who fled the Holocaust, the prodigal son did the converse. The prodigal son left what was good and went to what was evil. A self-imposed exile away from God. St. Ambrose of Milan, many years ago in the 4th century, compared the younger sons living in a faraway country to distancing oneself from the church by a sinful life. St. Ambrose even said the prodigal's wasteful living and resulting poverty served him right, he said. St. Ambrose asked, what is worse than self-imposed exile? That is, the self-imposed exile from God due to the prodigal son's sin. He brought this exile upon himself. Sin is like the Holocaust. Total destruction, ruin, separation, long-lasting psychological and emotional scars. The devil is intent on taking no prisoners. Spiritual genocide is the devil's goal. Sin does not fulfill, but always destroys. Serious sin cuts us off and alienates us from our life-giving Father. Serious sin is exile from God. Perhaps there are people here today, although in the church, who are still far from God in a self-imposed exile of serious sin. Attending church doesn't necessarily mean we are right in our relationship with God. We might still be in a far-off land in self-exile. It is self-imposed exile because God gives us the free choice to act as his children or not. When it comes to serious sin, we must be like Anna Marie and Betty. Do something decisive to save our own lives and flee. Sin is something to run away from, something to flee, something to run from and go back home to God the Father. Remember in the gospel lesson today, the prodigal son came to his senses, it says. He came to his senses, as the gospel tells us. He left his self-imposed exile of sin and went back to the Father. Coming to his senses, he was truly repentant, changed his life, left behind his life of sin, and came back to his Father. He did something decisive. Then the prodigal son, after true repentance, is accepted back. He was always missed. And there is real restoration for this lost son. The prodigal son is given symbols of this true restoration as a son, as a real family member. The kiss, a sign of forgiveness. The robe, a sign of honor. The ring, a sign of authority as a real member of the family. The shoes, a sign of a free man, for only slaves went barefoot. The feast, a sign of joy. A joyous reunion, a parable illustrating God's restoration of sinners. Through true repentance and the Father's forgiveness, the prodigal son is no longer in his self-imposed exile caused by sin. Now back to Anna Marie and Betty. As survivors of the Holocaust, they wondered if the other survived, wondered where the other one was. Did she make it out of the clutches of the Nazis? Through the years, both women gave many speeches about the Holocaust, wrote memoirs, and kept on asking and searching for each other. But their lifelong search for one another suddenly ended in November of 2020 when an employee of the USC Shoah Foundation, which produces and preserves audiovisual testimony of Holocaust survivors, drew parallels between the two friends' testimonies, although they had changed names due to marriage. Finally, after 82 years of wondering about what had happened to the other, the two women were reconnected through the efforts of the USC Shoah Foundation. An amazing reunion. They met over Zoom at first, were finally reunited in person back in December of 2021. Betty said in early 2021, when they were talking over Zoom, it was like no time had passed. Of course, 82 years makes a difference, but more or less, we just picked up where we left off. We just picked up where we left off. This is what God offers to those who truly repent, truly change their lives, and are sincere in following him. Picked up where they left off. As his sons and daughters, made in his image. The parable of the prodigal son shows us this complete restoration. After coming to his senses, ending his self-exile in sin, the father restores him as his own son. This is what God offers to those who truly repent. And God has and continues to do this. There may be people here in the church today who lived in the self-exile of serious sin, but came to their senses, restored as sons and daughters. This kind of reunion is even more beautiful than Betty's and Anna Marie's, since this kind of reunion lasts forever in heaven and is full of joy that is beyond comprehension. May the Lord our God help us and our missing members to come to our senses, to flee from our self-imposed exile of sin, truly repent and delight in being restored to our home, the Father's house, the church. Amen.